May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of us began this service outside, and then we processed into the church, waving our palm branches and singing Hosanna to the Son of David, just as the crowds did when Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey. All four gospel accounts describe Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and this year we've heard Matthew's account. And a particular phrase only found in Matthew's gospel caught my attention. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this? Who is this? Who is this Jesus?" This is a pressing question in all the Gospels, for Jesus' disciples, for the religious authorities, and for the crowds. It's a question that looms large throughout accounts of Jesus' ministry, as people puzzle over his teaching, his healings, and his miracles. But it becomes particularly urgent in the events leading up to and following Jesus' death and resurrection. These are the events we ponder today and throughout this Holy Week. Events right at the center of our faith. Who is this Jesus? This is not only a question for the crowds around Jesus back then, but a question for us, for our friends, our family, and our relatives to consider today. Well, various answers are given to this question, suggested both in our Palm Gospel, we heard outside or here right at the beginning of the service, telling of the joyful entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and in our somber Passion Gospel, which we've just heard, telling of Jesus' trial, his crucifixion, and his death. As Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey, he clearly takes up the role of the Messiah, the Son of David. Jesus has walked all the way from Galilee and doesn't need a donkey for the last couple of miles. This is an acted parable, deliberately staged to convey a message. Jesus takes up the prophecy of the prophet Zechariah. "Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey." Jesus is taking up the role of the king of the people of Israel, their Messiah. But not a warrior king who comes in military might, but a humble king who comes to serve and to lay down his life. When Jesus enters Jerusalem, he comes to an enthusiastic reception, and Matthew emphasizes the very large crowd as pilgrims throng to the city for Passover. But despite the enthusiasm of some, there is still murmuring and confusion. Is Jesus a prophet or more than a prophet? In fact, the whole city is in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" This question comes into sharper focus in our Passion Gospel, where various different titles and descriptions are used for Jesus, most of them in mockery. King of the Jews, Messiah, an innocent man, Son of God. But we are called to recognize the truth behind the mockery. Pilate, the Roman governor, asks Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" For Pilate, this term has political overtones. Jesus does not deny the title, but as he's indicated by riding into the city on a donkey, he is not a king in the way that Pilate understands. He is the one foretold by the prophets, the humble Messiah and the servant king. And then, despite Pilate's incomprehension and the mockery and the rejection of the priests, the leaders, the people, a notice is pinned onto the cross which reads, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." He is their king, although they reject him. The Jewish leaders and the crowds turn against Jesus. They ask for the bandit, Jesus Barabbas, to be released and urge that Jesus of Nazareth be crucified. Although Pilate, as he's warned by his wife, is told this man is innocent. Now, Pilate's wife is referring to the fact of his innocence of the specific charges against him. But again, there is a deeper layer to those words. Jesus' innocence is far deeper. He is the one who, though like us, was without sin. Jesus is mocked and rejected not only by the Jewish leaders, but also by the Roman soldiers, as they put a crown of thorns on his head and kneel before him in cruel jest. In recent times, especially since the murder of millions of Jews in the Holocaust, the question of who was responsible for the death of Jesus has become a very sensitive one because of the increased awareness of how it can be used to fuel anti-Semitism. Many Christian declarations now make it very, very clear we must absolutely avoid the language used in the past to blame the Jewish people as a whole for Jesus' death. Terrible atrocities were committed by Christians against Jews as a result of this idea. In fact, we are all implicated in Jesus' death. It is the sin of the world that took Jesus to the cross. As Jesus is mocked as King of the Jews, he's also mocked as the Son of God. The passers-by cry, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Jesus is tempted here just in the same way as he was tempted by Satan early in the beginning of his ministry. If you are the Son of God, prove it. Do something spectacular. But Jesus proves he is the Son of God precisely by the commitment to drink this cup of suffering to its dregs. He is faithful to the Father's will, whatever the cost, and there is no shortcut. Then after Jesus' death, the Gentile centurion and those with him say, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now this is said without mockery, though perhaps without full comprehension either, but it's fitting that these words are said by Gentiles, as Jesus' death is to draw all people to himself. So who is this Jesus? How would we answer that question? How do people in our wider society answer it today? Our friends, our relatives, our neighbours. There is still plenty of mockery around today, but perhaps more often this question is met with indifference and a complete lack of interest. Others would say Jesus was a good man who suffered, just like millions of others in our world today. The Christian faith hangs on the question, who is Jesus? This is the key question asked of us all. Who do you say that I am? Our belief in Jesus as the crucified and risen Lord is central to our faith. And today's New Testament reading from the letter to the Philippians gives us an answer to that question. Jesus Christ is the one who, though he had the nature of God, yet chose to empty himself to become a human being. He came as a servant who humbled himself to the uttermost, even to a cursed death on the cross. It's like going down the rungs of a ladder. Christ, the Son of God, comes from the heights right down to the deepest pit. On the cross, he suffers not only the physical agony, but also the desolation of being abandoned by God, his Father. My God, why have you forsaken me? He stands in that dark place for us and with us. But it's not just as a man that Jesus suffers and dies. As Paul says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Who is Jesus. This is not just an academic question. It presses upon us, and it prompts us also to ask, who are we? In the events that unfold this coming week, we see more and more clearly God's way of suffering love. And we see the depths of brutality, hatred, cowardice, and self-deception of human nature. We see the depths of sin, that very churchy word. Sin is putting ourselves first, clinging to our own status, desires, and wants, whatever the cost, the very opposite of the way of Christ, as he empties himself, takes the form of a servant, and follows the demands of love, whatever the cost. The story of Jesus' death and resurrection is not just about Jesus, but also about us as human beings, and not just other human beings. Martin Luther once said that Scripture is all about you, not about other people, but about you and me. We are part of the story. But to allow ourselves to be drawn into that story, to really learn who Jesus truly is and who we truly are, we have to make time. So please do come to the services we have through this Holy Week. Don't just come next Sunday, on Easter Sunday, and jump to the end of the story, because we can't have the resurrection without the cross. Come along on Maundy Thursday, when we remember the Last Supper, when we will have a bring and share meal together in the hall with communion, and then we will come into the church and strip the altar and the hangings of the church as we remember Jesus being stripped and scourged and left alone. We hear about him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we are invited to stay and pray in silence. Come along on Good Friday, when our family service in the morning and our traditional liturgy in the afternoon, both in different ways, help us to stand by the cross ourselves, to understand the story not just with our heads, but in our hearts. Who is this? Who is this Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God, and we see in him the self-giving, sacrificial love of God as he takes on the hatred, the betrayal, the violence, and the pain of humanity. And who are we? Well, we are part of that messed up humanity. In the story, we come face to face with our own cowardice and fear and betrayal, our own indifference and desire for power and self-protection. However, we see in this story not only who we are, but also who we can become. The self-emptying of Christ on the cross, his giving up of himself for us, offers us the gift of new life and a new beginning in our relationship with God. And it doesn't leave us unchanged. We are called to follow the same way of self-giving love as Jesus, as Paul urged the Philippians, to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. But we can't follow this way of self-giving love in our own strength. First, we have to face our own failures and sins. Even at our best, we fall short of the glory of God. So we have to swallow our pride and come humbly with empty hands and open hearts before the cross. There is no way round that. But as we trust and follow our crucified and risen Lord, we will find forgiveness, grace, and a new beginning. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" Let us walk with Jesus in this week ahead to enter more deeply into the story of his passion, death, and resurrection. As we do so, we will see more clearly who Jesus is, who we are, and who we can become. Thanks be to God.